Today we're going to do a prayer service. This is going to be different from what we normally do. We do this about once a year. Probably ought to do it a little more. But that means instead of you sitting and listening to me preach, today we're going to spend a lot of time praying. If you can look in your bulletin, you can see some of the things we're going to pray about. And each one of these we're going to do a little bit differently. But you're going to be asked to get up and move around a little bit in the service. Towards the end, we're going to have a group prayer time where I'm going to ask you to get with your deacon groups. And if you're visiting with us today or you don't know who your deacon group is, just get, I'll have the deacons stand up when we get to that time and get near the deacon that is nearest to you. And they'll give you instruction on the group prayer time. But today we first want to pray for the sick. We have a number of folks that are going through various physical ailments. And so we want to remember what James wrote in James chapter 5 in verses 14 through 16. Where James says, "Is anyone among you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will restore the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." And listen to this: the effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, some of the folks that are sick in our congregation are not able to be with us. And so when we come to one of those folks I'd like us to pray for, I'm going to ask somebody to stand in. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have some people come and stand at the front. And then I want us then to come and gather around that person, whether that person's here or that person is standing in as a representative. But I want us then to have a time of prayer silently for that sick person, and then I will lead us in a concluding prayer for all of them. So one of the people that I know that we need to pray for, I saw this morning at the hospital. He's beginning rehabilitation today. He's got a long way to go, and that's Richard Hunter. And of course, Richard in the hospital is not able to be here, and Linda's not able to be here with us today. And so I need a volunteer to come and stand for Richard. Annette, will you come right here, and this will be our representative and member of the pray. Those of you that have by name, Don't be afraid to lay hands on their shoulders connect with them. Now, each of you that are gathered around one of these dear brothers or sisters or their representative, I want you now take a moment, each of you silently, and pray for that person. Pray for the Lord to touch their bodies and in His will to bring His healing upon them. Pray for encouragement in their hearts. Pray for the medical treatment that they are receiving to be effective. Pray for the strength of their family and extended family, their caregivers. Father God, I thank You that You have given us the privilege of interceding for those who are sick. And Lord, we are wanting to follow the commands that You've given in Your Word to pray for one another. And God, we do cry out to You as our Father, asking for Your mercy and Your healing. God, we know that there are many types of illnesses and reasons why illnesses and accidents and injuries happen. But God, we commit these people to Your hands, asking that Your perfect will be completed in their lives. Father, we pray for Mary Galloway today. She is continuing to have headaches. Lord, Galloway's safe travel to Florida as she receives treatment down there. And Lord, we know that You are the one who will bring healing to this. And so, Lord, encourage them. Watch over them in their travel. And God, again, give Mary relief in this day. Father, we pray for Richard Hunter today. Thank You for his love for You and his faith. And Lord, I ask that if he is undergoing very difficult and painful rehabilitation, that starting today, Father, I pray for him to have the courage and the stamina to endure that. The Lord, He knows that it's something He has to do for him to be able to leave the hospital and to not have to be in a facility. And so, Lord, thank You for the treatment He's getting. Help the therapist to know just how hard to push him and
pray that you would help her bones to continue to mend. Father, for her shoulder to recover. Lord, that it would no longer be painful for her to even take a deep breath or to move. And Father, that you would give her relief from that. Help us to see how we can encourage her. Thank you for the ladies that have been tending to her and helping her already. And Lord, that you continue to bless them and encourage them. So Lord, again, we ask for your mercy for our weak sister Ruth. Father, for our sister Sandy, we pray that you would help her diabetes to come under control. Father, you know that she loves you and she desires to serve you. And Lord, that this is an issue in her body that you can correct. Father, help her to follow the diet and Father, and to follow the medical advice. And we ask that the medicine she receives would be effective. And Father, that she would, the day would come where she would no longer need any treatment for diabetes, Father, and that you would encourage her, Lord, and lift her up and give her and Bob strength as they continue to deal with this. In Jesus' name. Father, for our brother Bob Anderson, who's not here, I pray, Lord, that you would help the surgery to accomplish its goal. Father, we know that he is so fearful of losing a leg, and Lord, that fear has entered his life, and Lord, that you would give him peace and assurance that no matter what happens, you're in control. And Father, we do pray that this lengthy surgery would improve the circulation in his leg, and Father, that the healing would come, and Lord, that you would guide the hands of the surgeons and give them the skill and the knowledge that they need to accomplish this. But Lord, again, we ask for your blessing on him and his family. Thank you for what you're going to do in his life. And so, Lord, again, we bring this to you in the name of Jesus. And now, Father, we pray for our brother Paul. Thank you that you continue to sustain him through high points and low points that he's come through his ministry. Lord, we know that he is struggling right now. Father, that his energy is not where it should be. And so, Lord, again, we ask for your hand upon him for his continued strength. Lord, we know the doctors have said cancer is not going to ever go into remission. But God, that's what doctors say. We know what you say. And so, Father, we trust in you. And God, we want your will done in his life. And so, Lord, whether you choose to remove the cancer from him or not, we're going to praise you. And Father, I know he's going to praise you. And I thank you for his praise in you. And so, Lord, encourage him. Encourage and strengthen Judith as she helps him. Father, there are also others I know that probably have not been mentioned here by name today that have long-term illnesses and diseases. And Lord, that whether they be mental stresses or depression or something of the body, Lord, we know that you can bring an end to those things. And so, Father, we pray for your will and into those hearts and lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all can sit back down. I appreciate that very much. While it's important that we pray for those dealing with physical illnesses, God's always more concerned about the heart than he is the body. The body's important, but the heart speaks to eternity. The body is always just temporary. Even those with the best of health, the day will come that their body will cease to function. And we all know that. And God will call us home to glory. But the things of this life that we get to take to the next life are things of the Spirit. And we need to pray for revival, for spiritual awakening. And that begins in our own hearts, doesn't it? Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15, we read this promise from God. For thus says the High and Exalted One, who lives forever, whose name is holy. I dwell on a high and holy place, and also with the contrite and lowly of spirit, in order to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. You see what God's promising there? God is saying, I dwell, I live with those who are lowly. That means those who will humble themselves before Him. Those who are not proud. Those who come to the end of themselves and say, I can't do it, God, I need your help. I need you to do it for me. And with the contrite. That's another word for those who are repentant. And so, in a moment, I'm going to ask a bow, and we're going to spend some time. And this is where I want you to get one-on-one with God in your own heart. Don't ask God to humble you. That's dangerous ground to stand upon. The Bible never tells us to ask God to humble us. The Bible always says, humble yourself before the Lord. So cry out to God, confess sins of pride and any other sin that may be coming between you and God. Let's all bow and let's pray. Declare God's majesty to Him. Recognize in your heart just who He is. And confess who you are before Him. Confess those secret sins of the heart, or sins of action that only you and God are aware of. Come to the point where you agree with God about how awful that sin in your life is. Agree with Him that it's rebellion against Him. come to the place in your heart where you agree with his word that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. That when we rebel against God, we are serving Satan. Confess neglect of his word. Are there areas where you know what his word says and you choose not to obey it, not to heed it? Spending time daily meditating on the precepts of God's word. Listening to what God has to say to you through his word, through his spirit. Was the last time you just crawled up in your Heavenly Father's lap and put your arms around his neck and said, I love you, Dad, and I just want to be with you today. Recognize that when we are so busy we leave God out, it's not about priorities, it's about idols. Are there things or activities that have become idols, that you put them ahead of God? Heavenly Father, as everyone in this room continues to pray and be silent in their heart and still before you, God, you don't ask me to deal with other people's hearts. You ask me to deal with my own heart. And so, God, that's what I'm praying right now. And I trust that others are as well, but this is between me and you, God. Father, forgive me for the times when I thought I could do it in my own power. Father, I confess to you there are times where I find myself so busy that crawl up in your lap like I should and just say, I love you, Dad, and I want to be with you. Father, when that comes into my life, God, that's idolatry. It's not a distraction, God. It's not anything else. It's just me wanting to have my way. I ask your forgiveness for that. Father, I know you promised that when we are humble before you, we are contrite, confessing our sinfulness. God, that you come alongside us, and you pick us up, and you revive us. Lord, all of us need revived in our heart to be awakened and have a fresh touch from your Spirit. For fresh wind to blow across the strings of our lives to make beautiful music again. So Lord, I pray for revival in my own heart, for that awakening that can only come from you, from your Spirit. Lord, long time ago, you made my favorite verse in the Bible, Psalm 42:1. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after you, O God. Father, let that be our heart's cry. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In hand with praying for revival, for spiritual awakening for ourselves, is praying for unity in the church. Remember what Jesus said in John 17 in his high priestly prayer when he prayed for us, the true Lord's Prayer. And he prayed that we would be one and that we would love one another. For that is the only way that the world will see that Jesus has been sent by the Father. It's when we love one another. The 133rd Psalm in the first verse simply says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." There's going to be a temptation when you pray for church unity to pray, "I wish so-and-so and so-and-so would quit their bickering and get right." And that's not what praying for unity is all about. It's about examining your own heart. And asking, where have I sown seeds of discord and division? And then being willing to confess that and repent of it, not only with God, but with another person. Let's pray. Give thanks to God that we who were once slaves of sin, by the blood of Jesus, have been adopted as sons and daughters, children of God. God has taken us from debtor and turned us into heirs. recognize that if we're all children of God, then other believers are your brothers and sisters. That your family recognize that healthy families at times will have disagreements in them. But they stand together. Recognize that in healthy families, truth, even if it causes pain and discomforts, is necessary. But the purpose of sharing truth is to build up, not to tear down. To love and encourage, not to destroy. Father, thank you for the church, the local assembly, this group of believers that you have called out, put together as your family. Thank you for placing them into my life at this time. God, you've placed me in this family of believers for my benefit and their benefit. Just as iron sharpens iron, we sharpen one another to be effective in your service for your kingdom. Lord, I confess to you today, I need my brothers and sisters. I thank you that you didn't call me to be a lone ranger. While it sounds romantic, all it leads is to nothing but pride and failure. Thank you for each believer in this congregation, God. Part of my family. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us as a family to stand strong and united with a common purpose and a common goal. A common purpose to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, and all our mind. And to love one another even as we love ourselves. And with the goal of finishing the Christian race, crossing the finish line together. And taking other people by the hand to say, come join us in the race. We can all enter the kingdom of God together. So, Lord, that is our prayer today for unity. God, reveal to me, reveal to all of us where we've acted in the flesh and acted foolishly. We confess that sin to you. And so, Father, remind us that we are family. And blood is thicker than anything else. And the blood that binds us together is the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you know, one of the things we've been praying about with a group of us has been the situation with, and I touched on this last Sunday in the sermon, regarding our church's mortgage and how God has brought us so close to the end here and the need to have this taken care of so that we can do great things with that money in ministry. And so we've asked that the church begin praying about this. We started last spring talking about this and asking the church to pray about it. And one of the things we want to pray about is the financial health of the church and for God's provision. Remember what the prophet Malachi said in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It's right there at the end of the Old Testament. I know where it is. I'll find it in a moment. That's why preachers always ought to mark their verses, right? But in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, God says, "Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows." And Pam Deeds, who leads our team that's been praying for this, is going to come up here, and I've asked her to come and to lead us in a time of prayer for the financial health of the church. So Pam, if you'll come.
We have so many blessings, all of us. And, I think that we need to, really as we go through this week of prayer, which Pastor's going to introduce, be still before the Lord and consider how we're utilizing God's blessings, whether they be time, talent, or treasure. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer now. Father, we thank you for everything that you have provided for us in our homes, in our personal lives, in our families. Father, those who need jobs, you know, we just pray that you would provide those jobs for them so that we are able to share with each other. And Lord, I ask that you would give us a sense of the real cost of our mortgage, what it costs us in terms of things we can't do because of it. But also, Lord, I would ask that you would, during our week of prayer, give us a sense of the work that you're already doing around us that you want us to join in on. Father, we know you're already at work. It's just a matter of us cooperating with you and being willing. So, Lord, we are rich people. We don't have tons of money, but what we have, you've given us. And we know that if we just give it back to you freely, we're not a tithe, Lord. We just give you back everything that we have and everything that we are. And we just ask you to use us and to use the resources you've given us, so that your name would be glorified, Father. Not that we would seek our own glory or our own accomplishment, or that we can look out in the community and say, "Boy, look at Mount Hugh Baptist Church, how great they are." Lord, we want them to look at you and say, "There's faithful servants in that place, and their God must be a wonderful, great God." So Lord, we just ask that you would get all the glory from what we're able to do with the resources that you give us. And as we pray this week, I ask that you would humble our hearts and just bring us to a place, Lord, where we're listening to your voice so that we can come together as a body and start to get a vision of what it is that you want us to do here. Father, we thank you again for all the wonderful things, the blessings you pour down on us, for our homes, our families, for this place we come to share worship with you. Father, just for everything that we have and everything that we are, we thank you. And Father, we do give it back to you, and we ask that you would use it for your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I need a few volunteers to pass out our prayer guides. This is for the week of prayer. So, Gary. Especially the adults, get one of these. This week is going to be our week of prayer. And this prayer guide's very, very simple. I'll give them a moment to get those out to you. Each day this week, take the prayer guide, find a quiet time, a quiet place, and get alone with God. Have your Bible with you, and you can go through each day. But if you'll see for today, I'm asking everybody, and I'll be doing the same, to meditate on the prayer topic for that day. For today, what does God say about my giving? And I want you to read Malachi chapter 3. Now, if you open up your Bible and say, all right, a preacher said read Malachi 3, and so I got it. All right? That's not what we're talking about. What I'm saying is read it slowly. Think about it, and I want you to ask yourself three questions. What does it say? Do I understand everything it just said? If I didn't understand part of it, go back and reread it again. You ever been reading something in the Bible or any other thing, maybe even just a novel or something, and your mind drifts away and you go, oh, I don't remember what I just read? It happens to me all the time. Happens to all of us. You got to go back and reread it. So ask yourself this question. What does it say? Do I understand everything that I just read? Then ask yourself a second question. What does it mean? Can you put it in your own words? And then that brings you to the third question. So what? So what now? What does God want you to do with that? And that's where your prayer time comes in. Okay, God, I've meditated on this. What does this mean for me? And God, how am I to respond to it? And so spend time praying. And there's some prayer starters there. These are things as you're praying, questions or things you can think about. And so I want you to go through there. And then I want you to look, open this up and go to Thursday, October 31st. All right? Look at that. That day, our prayer topic is, what ministries could our church have if we didn't have a mortgage? Look down to prayer starters. Make a list of all the ministries you wish our church would do. On the back, there's a page. It says, ministries we could have. I made it easy for you. Take a pen or a pencil. And as you're praying and thinking about this, and something comes to mind, you go, wouldn't it be great if we could do this at church? Write those things down. Write those things down. Then even you look at Friday's prayer topic is what ministries should our church have as we seek to share Christ. Okay, you know, I might write something under could have, We could have Barnum and Bailey, Ringling Brothers, circus of what's happening now, whatever, you know, and set the big top tent up, and we could have elephants, and we could invite the whole neighborhood to ride elephants around the parking lot and all that. That could go under could we have, but then when we come to should we do that? Right? Okay. And so this is a time where we begin to focus that dream and ask God for vision. For you see, what good does it do to have the mortgage paid off and have some extra funds, freedom of some extra funds, if we don't have a vision of what God wants us to do? Why are we going through all this, right? And so, pray about that. And so you might see something come off of the first page and move to the second page. And those are things, then, begin sharing with one another. Share with me. I'm not asking you to turn this back in to me. Begin praying about this, these things. And then, of course, then Saturdays, next Saturday, you're going to be praying about, am I to be part of one of these ministries we're supposed to have, that we should have? So take this and pray through it this week. Please do it. I know often we give out prayer guides all the time. Peggy's so faithful in handing out our mission week of prayer guides, and for North American missions, and for international missions, and for state missions. And, you know, and I like to think that I'm pretty good about praying through those. But, you know, sometimes, whoops, I get busy and a day got by me. And so I'm like praying for two of them the next day. Anybody do that? Yeah, we all do that, don't we? Okay, sure we do. All right, let's make it a point not to put this on the back burner this week. Don't just tuck it in your Bible and then come next Sunday, oh yeah, I was supposed to pray through this week, and spend 30 seconds, okay, Lord, I pray this and I pray this, and run through all 7 days in 30 seconds. Okay, now if somebody asked me if I did my prayer time, I'm good, I don't feel guilty. No, don't go there. Don't go there. Commit to it this week, to being in prayer. I'm not going to ask somebody to do something I won't do myself, and so I'm going to do it this week. I ask you to do it. That means today even. Yes, I know. But the Packers are playing tonight, right? So you got a little time. The last thing we want to do before our benediction is we want to have a group prayer time. We've been praying about general stuff today. And so I want us to have the opportunity to share what's on our heart, whether it's a personal need or something. And we're going to do that in the small prayer groups. And so deacons, I'm going to ask our deacons, will you stand up, deacons? All right. Many of you remember who your deacon is for your deacon families. Let's